25 years ago this week, a satellite link connected Australia to the internet for the very first time. This was done at the University of Melbourne, for people who are IT buffs, at the electric speed of some 56 kilobits a second. Wouldn't get you much these days. It was part of a NASA program, actually, their internet expansion program, and was in fact funded at the time by the US Federal Networking Council. So 25 years ago this week, got the first flicker of the internet in a permanent state in Australia. And look, I mean, right now we have people listening to this program over the internet. We've got people contributing via comments on our Facebook page. We these days just about cover stories every other day based on the internet. Security concerns, banking scams, things like the end of the Daily Mail delivery because it's become obsolete thanks to the internet. Revolutions that have started with the aid of the internet. Collaborative research undertaken from experts on opposite sides of the globe thanks to the internet. Don't know if that's where the TV one came from, but we'll find out. Anyway, 25 years ago this week, it was switched on in Australia. For mine, it's humankind's greatest invention. Look, information has never been more accessible or diverse. Geographic distance has never been less relevant. I mean, it is near instantaneous connection to just about everything we've ever known, to every event that happens around the world the second that it happens. So for mine, this is the greatest invention of all time. What's yours, folks? What do you think? I mean, can you think of something better, a greater invention? Do you agree? Or are you of the view that, in fact, the internet has made the world worse off? Don't laugh. I had a look around, ironically, on the internet about this, and there are plenty of people that believe that this is the case. You know, there are people that will argue it has ruined social interaction. People will say that it's made people less capable of remembering stuff because it's all there at your fingertips. You don't have to. It's a bit like what the calculator did to basic maths. People argue that it's ruined the idea of the traditional community because, I mean, if you're plugged into the world, you're less likely to sort of hang over the back fence to have a chat about things going on around the place. You can talk to anyone anywhere at any time. Others would say that the internet's ruined privacy. You know, there are no secrets anymore. And look, as a court case in Germany has recently deliberated, it's difficult to be forgotten now on the internet. You commit a crime, you say something silly, you take a regrettable photo, it lives on forever. And others would say, look, it's changed the world too quickly. Things like banking, commerce, private information, the sort of stuff that used to live in a locked drawer somewhere, now lives in a space that clever criminals can access. And 25 years ago, we plugged in permanently, having no idea how it would change the world. But look, it has. And for mine, it remains our greatest invention. So a couple of things for you to mull over, folks. What is mankind's greatest invention? Are we better off having the internet? 8223 0000 is the number. And I guess, too, given the state of things at the moment, and given that we live in a very entrepreneurial part of the world, we see some rubbish invented as well. So if you've got a nomination for worst invention, look, I'd love to hear it as well. Stilgherrian is an IT commentator that we often go to on these sorts of big macro IT matters. Stilgherrian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Will. Gee, I'm glad you chose not to sort of throw in any big things to think about there.
Yeah, look, we thought we'd keep it very simple.
You've covered so many bases there, but I think I'm with you on this, that for what it means for us as humans to be humans, the internet is phenomenally changing that. And I think even 25 years after Robert Ells plugged in that first plug at the University of Melbourne, we're really only at the very beginning of what is going to be a phenomenal journey, I think.
I'm interested in getting your thoughts on that. But do you have an insight on why did this happen in Australia? Why did NASA care? Why was sticking an internet connection in Melbourne of any interest to NASA in the US?
Well, NASA has to track its spacecraft in space, if nothing else, and that means they have to use tracking stations on this side of the world for when their spacecraft are on this side of the world, their communication systems and so on. And science is a global thing. Scientists in Australia need to be able to communicate with scientists elsewhere in the world. Now, there had been specialist links. Like there were dedicated links between, you know, the Parkes Radio Telescope and the Deep Space Tracking Center near Canberra and so on.
Mm.
But the thing about the internet, and this is its magic, is that it was a system for connecting any computer, any communication system, into any other. It was a global standard, if you like.
Yeah.
Which is something we never quite managed to get with electricity. We've still got, you know, three and a bit different kinds of plugs and two different voltages. But the internet is that global way of connecting anything to anything. And that was the magic. It meant that if they wanted to send a big file of data for scientists in Australia to analyse or vice versa, they could just send it. We were part of the global community. And we do that now. I mean, you know, the kids are overseas, you know, or whatever. Grandma's on a 14th holiday to Barbados and is sending us the photos. We don't need to worry about what sort of phone she's using, which internet service provider she's on. It will just get to us.
Yeah.
It is the global standard. And the thing that hits me is we haven't quite got clear in our head that the total sum knowledge of everything we know as humans is being poured onto the internet, brackets, except for that little bit which is less than 70 years after the death of Mickey Mouse's author, which is all wrapped up in copyright battles, and we're going to see
that's right,
continuing on for ages. But eventually, you know, I guess we can still get that over the internet. We just got to throw a few dollars into the pot.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. You know, it's certainly transforming third world societies where countries are just leaping ahead, even of old analog landline telephones, going, no, we'll go straight to the internet. Sure, there are no telephones in our village, but we will negotiate on the internet for where we will sell our bananas in which village this week to get the best prices. We're seeing even, you know, the idea of call centres going to India because it's cheaper. Well, now that India has a rising middle class and they don't want to be paid threepence halfpenny to sort out your phone bill, India is, if you like, pricing itself out of that market, let alone Australia pricing itself out of the market. We're now seeing some of that work going to Africa now that they're getting better internet connections there. Places like Kenya, which again was part of the English-speaking, you know, coloured red bits on the map, and you know, it's that global transformation has yet to happen. I think if we're whinging about, you know, the car industry being run down in Australia and not being competitive and this, that, and the other, I think we're really only at the very start of that.
Yeah.
When your accountant, your lawyer, why do they need to be someone in the same country as you? Do we really need a lawyer paid an Australian salary sitting in Unley to do your contract to sell your house? Probably not.
Mm. Yeah, we're not that the actual work's done by the internet so much, but we're also seeing it so much with regard to the medical industry and elective surgeries and things like that now.
Already the notes that your surgeon takes when they look at your x-rays before the operation, they speak their notes into their recorder and send that off to be transcribed. There's very little chance that that's done in Australia anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Stilgar, you mentioned we've barely scratched the surface on the potential of this technology that we both agree is probably the greatest invention that mankind's come up with. So if you look into your crystal ball, and look, people are, I think, inherently afraid of the unknown, and the ideas about technology having limitless potential excites and frightens people, I think, in equal measures. And in that vein, do you think the trajectory of the internet is more telephone or sort of special theory of relativity, and by that I mean, is it going to be a benign convenience, or is it likely to lead to something that's the tech equivalent of the nuclear bomb?
Oh, well, that's the $64,000 question, and we're seeing that already. At the same time that you have someone say, "Oh, I can communicate over the internet and be part of an uprising overthrowing the terrible, terrible government."
Mm.
At the same time, the power to surveil our every move is inherent in the internet. We're connecting, you know, every smartphone is a surveillance device. Now, you know, on the benign side, it says, "Oh, we noticed you drove past a car dealership and we saw that you were looking at car ads last week. Maybe you need to, you know, have you seen our latest sedan? We've got them 15% off at the dealership you just drove past." That's kind of benign, but when it comes, you know, what are you doing out on the street? We saw you reading that book the other day. What have you got against the minister here? You know, was that a threat or were you just joking?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, look, every tool is a neutral thing. You know, I can bring a hammer around to your house and fix that problem in the roof, or I can bash your head in.
Yeah.
It's just a hammer.
That's why I don't invite you around with any of your tools, still, Gary.
No, that's probably a good idea.
Hey, really appreciate your time. Thanks for your insights.
No worries.
That's our IT commentator, Still Garian, having a talk about what is the discussion point today, the greatest inventions in the history of mankind. I've put forward mine, that is the internet, because 25 years ago this week, it was switched on permanently here in Australia. Happy to take your nominations for worst inventions, or indeed whether you might lament the fact that 25 years ago a decision was taken in Melbourne University in conjunction with NASA that we switched on this technology. That's fine too. Happy to hear from people with a range of opinions. 8223 0000, the number. You might, though, have more interest in speaking with my in-studio guest, Ben Lewis, science communicator with RIOz. Ben, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Well,
thanks for coming in. We thought we'd get in someone with some degree of expertise in innovation and invention and dealing with all this kind of stuff. You got a view on where the internet sits in terms of, you know, the scale of great inventions in human history?
I think definitely of modern times, of the last maybe 100 years, maybe you can go back a little bit further than that even, definitely the internet is way up there. It's revolutionized our lives like nothing else. You know, it's completely changed the way that we communicate, and it's closed. You know, everyone talks about the shrinking world. You know, it's really shrunk down the borders of, you know, from here to England, for example. You know, we can communicate so much easier. We can do business so much easier, as you were talking about before. You know, it's just completely changed almost every facet of our lives, from news gathering to business, to music, to, you know, movies even. Everything like that is now... you know, sort of changed, being changed by the way the internet operates.
We'll get to some callers in a moment, but have you got any thought starters of other things that should be in the conversation about great inventions?
Well, for a bit of an Adelaide focus, I'd like to throw penicillin into the mix.
Yeah.
Which was Howard Florey, who in 1939 was working on penicillin, and he basically discovered or invented the way to be able to produce it in large scales, so that it actually became clinically, or, you know, being able to be used as a medicine. And it was actually discovered a little bit before that by Alexander Fleming over in the UK. And there was actually some hints as to what it might have been a little bit earlier than that even.
So what's the distinction there? Because, I mean, this always starts fights at quiz nights, Florey versus Fleming, because so Fleming basically discovered what penicillin is and what Florey discovered its practical use in medicine. Is that sort of the distinction?
Basically, Alexander Fleming was looking at some fungi, and it's called type of fungi that it's called is called Penicillium.
Yep.
Hence why we now call it penicillin. And he found that when it was being grown in a certain way, it was excreting this substance which actually killed bacteria. It was an antibiotic.
Yeah.
So he sort of discovered this, you know, this substance that we now call penicillin and how it sort of worked and all, you know, the effects that it had. A little bit further down the track, Howard Florey and Ernst Chain, who was his collaborator at the time, did a lot of work into trying to work out how to actually be able to produce that on a large scale. Mm. So everything before then, so what Fleming found was very small amounts being produced by these fungi. Fleming and Chain and a couple of other workers on that as well did a huge amount of work into trying to upscale that and being able to produce enough that it was actually clinically relevant and able to be used in medicine.
So penicillin certainly needs to be in the conversation.
I think so. It revolutionized modern medicine.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really did completely change the way that medicine operated and surgery became a lot safer. And, you know, before you had people dying of the most innocuous infections. And since penicillin was invented and then, you know, developed by Florey, it's, you know, medicine and modern medicine has just become a whole lot more safer, and life in general has become a whole lot safer because now what isn't innocuous now isn't killing us, which it was 100 years ago.
Ben, what we might do, if you're happy, I might take a break. We might take some calls, and I suspect you're going to have a much better idea that what people's suggestions might be than mine. So 8223 0000, the number, folks. You can have a chat with me and Ben from RIOz about best inventions of all time and worst, or maybe your thoughts on how Australia's changed over the last 25 years when the internet was switched on. 8223 0000, the number, folks, or you can jump on our 5AA Facebook page.
Talking Adelaide with Will Goodings on 1395 5AA.
27 minutes after one, taking your calls on the best and worst inventions of all time, and indeed your thoughts on where the internet sits in that list. I say it's at number one. It's the best invention in human history. The reason we're talking about it, of course, is because 25 years ago this week, NASA, in conjunction with some people at Melbourne University, said, yeah, we'll flick this on permanently. And, you know, it's going to be of use to people in NASA. And here we are now, 25 years later, and just about everything's changed as a result of it. Some would say not all for the better, but I say overall, it has been mankind's greatest invention. If you've got something to bring into the mix, we invite you to call in on 8223 0000. I'm joined in the studio by Ben Lewis from RIOz. Ben, you're happy to take some calls, Ben, are you? We'll get Absolutely. Some suggestions from people.
Yeah, for sure. Why not?
Let's start with Judy at Brighton. G'day, Judy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well.
Good. I wouldn't say that this is the best invention, but it's up there, and it's on the same line as you're talking about, is Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Wi-Fi fits in that realm of technologies. I have no concept of how or why Wi-Fi works, other than I know that it does.
Well, I just flew on an A380, and I have no concept how that but it got me from Rome to Dubai without even knowing that I was flying.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Have you been on an A380?
No, I haven't. Was that your first time on one?
No, I flew A380 over to Los Angeles from Sydney, and you don't know you're in the air.
So why is that? Because you can't hear anything, or it's just not bumpy?
It's because it's such a large aircraft. It doesn't get affected from any sort of currents or wind.
Oh, wow.
You don't have any movement. It's just being like on one of those high-speed trains.
Yeah.
Japan.
Oh, well, maybe someone might actually nominate the airplane at some point, Ben.
I was actually going to throw that up. I mean, it's something we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah.
But, Judy sort of mentioned it in a roundabout way. You know, the plane has, again, revolutionised the way that we operate as humans, and it's shrunk the world again.
Yeah. Danny at Craigmore, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Will. Good afternoon, Ben. Two things I want to say. I agree with you, Will.
Yep.
That the internet, yes, it is the greatest invention known to man, but it could also, depending on who you are, be considered the worst. But
yeah, okay.
my personal number one for the worst is terrorism, modern terrorism.
Yeah, okay. I guess in terms of it as a concept, it is certainly a new invention. The way in which it's been visited upon the world, yeah, I'll take that, Danny. I mean, I think ideas and theories and approaches to things fit as inventions too, and that's been a pretty horrid one. Certainly the way in which we've seen it visited on civilians in an unprecedented way. And